And you're with Michael Goodrich for the Council's Connection Show. Welcome back. We are here on the first Wednesday of the month from 2 to 3 o'clock. Talk about all things community and things happening at Council as well. And I've got a great lineup today this week. We've got Happy NAIDOC Week for everyone. I've got Nelson first off to talk about a bit about NAIDOC Week and what's happening in the area and what it's all about. Then we've got Sian and Sabina for our second session talking about our youth voice. And then lastly, I've got Beck Filipponi joining us about parenting and the things that are going on for parenting and activities you can do during the school holidays, but how to, some, you know, the challenge of parenting too through these times. And lastly, we've got Sabina from the Healesville and Yarra Junction Library talking about what's happening in the libraries. But first up, welcome, Nelson.
Hey, Michael. Thanks for having me, mate.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for coming along. Now, tell us a bit about yourself. So you work in the Indigenous team at Council.
Yes. So for people listening, my name is Nelson Aldridge. I'm a proud Tungurung man of the Kulin Nation. I work at the Yarra Rangers Council as an Indigenous Participation Project Planning Officer, which is quite a long title.
Yeah.
And I'm based in the Indigenous Development Team along with four others of my co-staff. So we each have our various roles. Mine as the Participation Project Officer is there was $150 million from the federal government handed out for the Roads for Communities initiative in the Yarra Ranges, and my role in that is to make sure that there is Indigenous participation in some sort of form. But that's just a little part of my job, along with going with cultural awareness training sessions, youth work, the Reconciliation Action Plan, and just all things to do with the Indigenous Development Team.
Yeah, there's a lot going on as well. And a busy week as well. So happy NAIDOC Week.
Thank you very much. Yes, happy NAIDOC Week. It's a great week. And also, you know, with the theme too, get up, stand up, show up.
Yes.
It's a fitting theme to do around celebrating Indigenous people and Indigenous mob who've got up, stood up and made change in community and change for the better. So what a beautiful way to celebrate the week.
Yeah, and many people would have probably heard of NAIDOC Week in the recent years and things like something new, but it's actually got a long history.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little about, you know, what does actually NAIDOC stand for? Because we love acronyms in Australia.
Yeah, it's a long one. Pardon me for the people out there in my bit of a cough. So it stands for National Aborigines or Aboriginals and Islanders Day Observance Committee.
Yeah.
So, It was a day of mourning, I believe, originally. And then in 1975, it changed to the week and became NAIDOC Week to celebrate Indigenous culture.
Yeah.
Celebrate all things culture and Indigenous people and whatnot. So I suppose for myself in celebrating NAIDOC Week, I would look back into the past first and the history and my ancestors, and really, they're the people who created the path and created the waves for myself and others to be in the roles I am now and to be here today and celebrating that. So my grandparents and my great-grandparents and just all ancestors from the area and all over Australia that got up, stood up, showed up for us to be here today celebrating this great week.
Yeah, it's amazing to be able to have a whole week. And you said it started really early on in the 1920s, I think it was, when people were, you know, protesting around Australia Day and saying, you know, this day of mourning, and then from there it emerged, actually, this should be a day of celebration and then a week.
Yeah.
So it's really great to have so much on, particularly this great thing this year as well around get up, stand up, show up.
Yeah.
And some great opportunities for people to, everyone in Australia really to recognise, learn a bit about Aboriginal and Indigenous cultures and their history.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first and foremost of celebrating, it's a celebration of that Indigenous people survived the process of colonisation, and with colonisation's best attempts to wipe Indigenous culture and Indigenous people out, we've survived, and the growth, and we continue to grow, and our culture continues to grow and get stronger every year, and that's with help of non-Indigenous people too and their allies. So it's really become a monumental thing, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, like I said, it's like, and also great for the whole Australia too, so like it's not just a week for Indigenous people, but also for all Australians to stand up and really celebrate, learn a bit about it, and go alongside and say, you know, congratulations, you know, it's been amazing to celebrate this time together and recognise the challenges, but, you know, the amazing achievements of these elders in the past and those people who stood up in the past and stood up and shown up and made a difference and be able to hear where we are today and actually have, you know, people like your team at Council really doing some great work, but across the community as well, like, you know, you have UNA, as well, great, really strong organisation bedded in Healesville and growing and growing. We were just talking about that before the show, how much they've grown so much.
Yes, they've grown quite an enormous amount. I was just at the Una lunch, and to hear about the process of Una and how big it's gotten, it's amazing. It's so good. Yeah. My sister's out there and she's absolutely loving it.
Yeah, it's an amazing story in itself, is Una, where it started from community, from just community wanting their space, that it was a place together and to connect and to heal and to be their own space. And it has been this community-led organisation for so long, and long history. And it was HICSA in the past. People might have heard of HICSA, and that was its name in the past, but it originally was thought of as UNA, and now it's just changed names from more in the last few years to back to the original name of UNA itself. It's amazing here. So great history here in the valley as well, particularly. And Corindurk.
Corindurk, of course. We quite often, and maybe it's a bit of biasm, but we quite often think of Corindurk as the spiritual home of Indigenous and Aboriginal history in Victoria, because of the efforts out there by William Barak, Simon Wonga, and not just those two fellas, but a broad group of people out there. Tommy Banfield, Thomas Denoli, just really strong Indigenous people that went to fight for their freedoms and fight for the right thing. And again, that's why we're here today. It's why I'm in the role I'm in, and that's why we're here talking about what we're talking about. So we're celebrating these people.
And it's the main thing to celebrate too, that Corindurk, where now I'm trying to remember the dates, but in the early, late 1800s, the first place that was provided to people to look after and manage themselves.
Yeah, so my family moved, being Tungurung. We were based in Werringal and Billick, which is up in Yay, on the Goulburn River in Yay, and we moved to Corindurk in 1863. So we've got that history in itself, and the inquiry was about 1881, I believe, and my family has resided in Hillsville since then, so been in Hillsville a long time.
Yeah.
And a lot of other families, the Wandons, and just to name a couple, there's so many out there. So the history of Corindurk is something that'll live forever, and I think paves the way for people like myself, and really gives myself inspiration and my other team inspiration to continue the work that they put in back 150 plus years ago to continue to the direction we're going in, the right direction, I'd say.
And some great spaces in Healesville you can go and visit and see the history of that as well. And the Healesville Sanctuary actually has some really good exhibitions there and some stories of telling. So if you think about school holidays and you want to do something family friendly with your kids as well, the Sanctuary is a great place to hear those stories as well, but also some other places you can visit as well along through Healesville as well to learn about that stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, just immersing yourself in nature is always a good thing. Badger Weir is a place that I go to quite often, just to tune into what we call nature's Wi-Fi, and you know, get off the technology and actually tune into what's going on and listening. And that's a big part of what Darren Wandon does as well. Is, you know, he's really heavily around environment at the council with the fire stick burning and all that amazing stuff, which the Indigenous Development Team's heading up to Cairns next month for the National Fire Stick Workshop. So can't wait for that. That's going to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and people haven't heard of fire stick. Can you tell us a bit about it? Because obviously it's something that's been there for thousands of years, but now is this rediscovered more science evidence around it, but it is this huge, strong cultural history of it.
It seems to be it's starting to really create waves through community fire stick. It's cultural burning, for the people who don't know, cool burning, Indigenous ways of burning. So cool burns and slow process burns. Reading country, putting fire to country at the right time, not so much the big fuel reduction burns that we're seeing at the moment. It's probably the key to the future in changing of how we look after our land and environment, especially out here. At one point, there's five fire stick practitioners in Victoria. Each member of the Kulin Nation has one. And on Yarra Ranges territory, at one point, we had three out of the five living here.
Yeah, wow.
And so the wealth of knowledge that we had. But fire stick is just a growing thing, and it continues to grow and grow. And I see more Indigenous and non-Indigenous people just opening their eyes to this amazing thing and going, wow, how have we not even thought about this till now?
Yeah.
You know, you talk about, as you said, Indigenous people for 60,000 plus years, Indigenous people looked after the land, and in return, the land looked after them back.
Yes.
Healthy country, healthy people. So I think it's really pushing in that right direction for sure.
Absolutely. You see, like, you know, the traditional European burning was this hot, hard, huge burn-offs to kill country, where this fire stick is actually about healing country.
Yep.
It's about looking after country and doing those really small, controlled burns to help the plants, the animals survive and thrive in a really smart way. So it's a beautiful thing to see, you know, and especially with, you know, being trialled out, you know, with the departments as well in regards to using that knowledge and you know, and relearning it, because it's been, you know, stuff that's been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And reusing it again and actually putting into practice is amazing to see.
There's amazing things out of it. I remember that we actually put fire on country just a couple of months ago, and it's about burning the leaf litter and controlling and burning the weeds that aren't meant to be there and bringing those natural grasses back. And someone asked, you know, but this is, how do we get people to come on board? Because people always focus on the negatives and, you know. So how it was actually informed to this person was, you don't even think of the negatives. You empower the positives. Like with mental health and issues going on, if you empower people's strength and you give them that empowerment and that support, the negatives will fade away.
Yeah.
Like this weed just faded away and it shredded the grass to come through. And I think that was not even from a fire stick point of view, from just a daily life-to-life point of view.
Blowing my mind right now about so many ways of, like, you know, a strength-based approach to parenting, which we talked about today with Beck, but also asset-based community development. It's all about focusing on strengths, focusing on your assets and nurturing them. And from that, strength becomes, and people can emerge, their strings can emerge as well.
Yes, absolutely say so.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so we've got a few minutes left before we get into a song, but it is Natic Week, and we've done a bit of a collaboration with your team around getting some events listed on a council website. So people search on the council website, search NAIDOC. We come up a page there with a list of opportunities for you to go and learn some things about Indigenous culture and their history, about Corranderk, about NAIDOC Week, but also some opportunities for you to get out and about and get active this week and in coming weeks as well to celebrate. So we've got some footy game and a network game coming up soon.
Yes, the football club that I play at, in Warburton Millgrove Football Netball Club, we are hosting First Nations Traffic Control. They're our major sponsors of the day. The Indigenous round against Powtown Football Netball Club. So we've myself and a small committee we've got full of Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, which is a massive tick for reconciliation.
Yes.
Showing everyone coming together and uniting for such a great day. We've got a great day ahead. We've got artwork done by Cindy Mills for our jumper, and Tegan Vos did the jumper and dresses artwork design for Powtown.
Yeah.
Arnie Joy Wandon is doing the welcome to country. We've got Indigenous flag colours will be on the ground and the 50-metre arcs. We've got didgeridoo performances. We're going to have the Wesburn under-11s and under-9s girls teams playing in the morning.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah, so that just bringing everyone together.
Yep, big family day.
Big day, raffles, award presentations, and we've got our guest speaker of the day is going to be Courtney Ugle, who is a proud Noongar woman. And she is in Essendon's VFLW team. She just won the premiership on the weekend, so congratulations to Courtney.
Congrats.
And she's gonna be our guest speaker, which is great. It's really good for the showing of diversity and, you know, showing women and this strong woman. And it's going to be great to have the young girls there looking up.
Yeah, amazing, really those young girls. Yeah.
Really looking forward to it. So that's on July 23rd at Max Spark Reserve out in Warburton.
Yep.
And I think we're going to get quite a crowd from what I'm gathering.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really cool.
Saturday,
July 23rd.
Yep. So you've got the youngies on first in the day, and then you've got the main match on at...
Yes, so we'll have the under-9s and 11s will be on in the morning, start kicking off at 10 a.m.
Yep.
The reserves football is about 12:30, and the senior match will be on at 3 o'clock, and the netball will be on from that same time, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock onwards.
Yep, so all in the same venue there too. So you can enjoy the netball, you can enjoy the seniors and the kids and all the stuff going on. So great time to celebrate
together. And plus I should mention that Nikki Winmar will also be there on the day, who also played for Warburton 20-odd years ago.
So
a club legend and just a legend in general coming back, which is awesome.
Oh, fantastic day. So that's coming up on the 23rd of July.
Saturday, 23rd of July.
But coming more closer now for us, for NAIDOC Week, is we've got the NAIDOC March happening in the city this Friday from 12 to 4 p.m. at the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service in Nicoll Street, where it starts in a huge celebration, massive march of 1,000 people through the streets of Melbourne to celebrate NAIDOC Week as well. So it's a fantastic time to go. We also have the Kutcher Edwards Circle Time Song and Stories, co-presented by Una, on Saturday the 9th of July at 7:30 p.m. in Healesville. And the footy club's coming up as well, on a Saturday 23rd. And we have another event later on that month in Burringer Gallery on the 24th of June, 23rd of July. There's a great exhibition on currently now for Speaking Together as well. So you can find all this stuff out on the council website. Just search NAIDOC Week on the council website, or just do your own research. Go on the Facebook page, go into your Google search, and just search NAIDOC Week events or history as well. And it'd be a great experience for you to learn some more and get up, stand up, and show up.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing for non-Indigenous people out there who might be a bit not sure how to get involved and whatever, just remember that you're a part of the story too. Your history is also Indigenous history. You're immersed in this history. For quite an often time, if you look at Indigenous culture and history as a lake, people have always seemed to walk around the lake. But I think people are starting to dip their toes in now and immerse themselves in Indigenous culture, which people are every day. Words like Warialik and Mount Donabiwang are Indigenous words. So you're a part of the story. This is your story too. So let's celebrate together, let's work together, and let's progress together to be a better nation going into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. All with you. And like I said, like, an Indigenous culture is the foundation of Australian culture. Mm. It really is. And so it is part of our culture. So that's a chance to about yourself as well.
And it's not always bad.
No,
I think quite often people would. It's sad. It's NAIDOC Week celebrate. It's a celebration. So celebrate with us.
Absolutely,
join in. Our arms are open. So please get involved. Attend the events. Do your research. Get involved. Whatever way you can, you'll enjoy it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nelson. Great to have you on today. Off to song, and next we've got Youth Voice. Back to the Council's Connection Show. And as always, we have our middle session here with the Youth Voice. And today we have Sienne and Patience. Hello, Sienne and Patience.
Hi, thanks for having us. So I'm Patience, and we're also here with Sienne. And
Hello.
We are youth ambassadors from Yarrawangis Council. And we just wanted to talk to you today about an amazing opportunity that's come up for young people in the Yarrawangis. Shortly, we'll be actually recruiting more youth ambassadors into our youth team at council. Essentially, these roles are for anyone aged between 17 and 24 years old who live, work and play in the Yarrawangis and want to get paid for working within council for around 3 hours a week over the next 2 years. So if you or a young person that you know likes advocating for other young people, they're a young person that wants to see a change in Yarrawangis, wants to have a better understanding of the community that we have in Yarrawangis, and comes from a diverse background, including, you know, a diverse cultural background, gender, ability, LGBTQI+, and more. Your different experiences will be an asset to this role. And the Youth Ambassador role allows you to do that. So these positions provide assistance with key activities, including consultation with young people, speaking and presenting at events, and co-designing programs, projects, and events. Essentially, youth ambassadors also can have the opportunity of steering and planning committees and offer a youth perspective across the organization. So that's a little snapshot of what the role is. But I wanted to speak to CN. CN, what are some things that you've enjoyed in your role as youth ambassador?
Well, I've done a lot of things in this role in the, I think, almost coming up on a year, and I've been so thankful for it. It's been great. I got to team up like a couple, I think a month or so ago with Mirinda Council to host a Night of Hobbit Day event at Eastland, where young people from like across Victoria came there and expressed just how happy they were for that kind of thing to happen and just how they are just so glad and felt so welcome, and it was so great. Patience, you and me have worked on It Takes a Town, which is an organisation dedicated to supporting young people in the Hillsville area, which has been extremely fulfilling and just so great. And lately I've been working on a lived experience presentation about being a member of the LGBTQIA+ community and what it was like in school and growing up, with some other members of the youth team to present to schools, you know, across the Shire. And I've also been part of interview panels with, like, when recruiting for other members of the youth team. And it's, I never expected I would like it, but I honestly love it. Patience, what are some things you've gained from the role?
To be honest, there's so many things I wasn't expecting to gain from the role when I first started, but the two main things that come to mind are just more confidence and also just a wider and more broader perspective. Because of this role, I've been able to talk to the executive leadership team at council and share issues that young people are facing in our area regarding youth employment or unemployment, and also mental health. Another thing is I've gained perspective from the amazing young people that I've interviewed for a project that I was running called the Youth Spotlight. So this project was essentially just where young people would share their stories about what they're doing in the Yarra Ranges and how they're using their own skills, talents and interests to make our community a better place. And I've also had the opportunity of creating fun Instagram reels and creating graphics for our Yarra Ranges youth social media page, which is something that I really am interested in. I just want to say, to be honest, the team at the council have been really supportive along the whole journey, and it's been amazing to actually get a behind the scenes look of how local government works, because I had no idea before. And also, with that being said, it's also just given me a taste of how it is as a young person to work in a professional environment. I didn't have like a long, illustrious, you know, amazing big resume when I first started and applied for this role, but the people around me helped me realize, you know, that I was passionate about advocacy and making a change, especially in our area and especially for young people. They've helped me also get other roles and other opportunities that align with, you know, my degree and what I'm studying in uni. So they're, you know, you're not just there for the 3 hours a week. They're really supporting you when you need it. And then also being a youth ambassador, before being a youth ambassador, I actually really felt disconnected from the Yarra Ranges community. And that was mainly to do with the fact of the things that made me different, you know, my cultural background, being a young person, all these other things that, you know, make me different. But working for the council has made me realise that those exact differences that I was just talking about can be used to inform things at council and make Yarra Ranges a better and a more amazing place for everyone to live in.
For everyone listening out there, if this role sounds interesting to you or someone you know might be interested between the age of 17 and 25, keep an eye on our socials, Yarra Rangers Youth on Instagram and Facebook, where we will advertise the positions in the next week or so, or you can email us at youth@yarrarangers.vic.gov.au. When I applied, I found the application process super simple and flexible, and the work environment is so supportive, and diversity is just extremely encouraged. The team is happy to discuss what would make you feel comfortable to apply to the youth ambassador position. You don't need to have any leadership experience or previous opportunities to develop the skills here. We can also be flexible with the application process. If you prefer to talk through the application, contact us again at youth@yarrarangers.vic.gov.au. And unless Patience wants to add anything else, I think that's it from us.
Yep, I just wanted to say, no matter who you are, you know, whether you're in school, whether you've graduated from school and you're just looking for your next opportunity, like I was confused what I was going to do next. I think this role will definitely give you a good taste of maybe what you could potentially be doing in the future. So yeah, check out our social media pages, like Sienne said, for more information.
Thank you, Sienna and Patience. Oh, it's amazing, and I can hear your passion, and I've seen you guys working in that role, and it's been amazing to see the work you've been doing. It's just incredible, and so really congratulations for all the hard work you've done and what you've achieved, and it's been great to have you on the radio station here the last few months as well, and really appreciate the hard work you've done. And for anybody who has a young, if you're young or in that 15-25 age group, or if you know somebody in that age group too, just jump onto the council website. Just search youth and you'll find out all information there. And I guess on the socials too. Be great to have more young people involved in council and supporting their community. Thank you so much, Sienna and Patience. And we're off to a song next, and then follow up with Beck.
Just call me. Why don't you just call me? Late night, can't sleep. Feels like I'm losing. I know that you're lonely. Why don't you just call me? Why don't you just
and welcome back to the Councillors Connect Show. And I'm visiting here, actually, I forgot to say that at the start of the show, this is my first time back in the studio for over 2 years. I've been going online throughout COVID, and so it's been really nice being back in the studio with Greg and with guests. Our next guest is Beck. Hey, Beck.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I definitely missed the people over the last 2 years, so any opportunity I can have to see the real people in real life is very exciting.
It is very good. And Beck, so you've started quite a few years ago now about All the Feels.
Yes.
And tell us a bit about what that is and why did you start that?
Yeah, so I'm an accredited mental health social worker and I've my kind of history with my work is trauma and working with families and mainly working with young people as well who have experienced sexual assault or child exploitation or trauma or family violence. And one of the things I guess that I really noticed was that their internal experience of their emotions and the, you know, their heart rate and their what's going on their stomach and their spine and their, you know, what they feel in their body is so overwhelming that they numb it. And they numb it with so many different things, and usually those things can be really unsafe. So while I was doing that work, I started a private practice called Beacon Innovative Solutions, and part of that, I created a program called All the Feels, which usually centres around art. But the premise for that is, it's in the name, All the Feels. So we, you know, I talk about, you know, with kids and even adults, I basically do the same content no matter what the age is, because I think it's messages that we all struggle with and messages that we all need to be reminded of.
Yes.
Even myself. So it's around, you know, talking about different emotions, and when people start to do that, they categorise them as these ones are good and these ones are bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whereas it's actually some are really easy to feel and feel nice to feel, and some are really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean those difficult ones aren't just important, as important as those ones that we see as typically good.
Yes.
So if we've had a loss and our pet has died or someone that's really important to us, we need to feel sad and we need to acknowledge that. And that sadness isn't a bad thing. The sadness is a sign that that person was amazing and fantastic and awesome and really an important part of our life. So that sadness shows that value that we had for that other person. Or if someone is nasty or unkind to us, we're allowed to feel angry and we're allowed to feel frustrated and we're allowed to feel scared, you know. But it's about when those feelings get so big, it's like a dam, you know. We collect them when the rain comes and then the dam explodes and then we have some very big feelings. And again, that's everyone from all ages.
Absolutely.
Yes. But if we can kind of accept and acknowledge and identify what emotions we're having, then we can have a feelings river. And so then our feelings can flow in, we can take a breath, regulate, and then they can flow back out. And so we can kind of get to know them and know that they're actually a really important, beautiful part of us and we don't feel so overwhelmed. So that's helpful when we're, you know, trying to raise little humans, but it's also helpful for adults who don't have little humans or that are trying to raise little humans, because little humans can cause very big feelings in us.
Absolutely.
So it's good, I guess, to learn strategies of that, because when we, I guess, when we avoid those feelings or we think that they're negative, we might feel sad and then we cry and then we're embarrassed because we're sad and then we're angry because we got embarrassed. And so then we suddenly have, you know, 10 emotions we're having to regulate. Whereas if we can strip it back and just go, actually, and this is a little strategy I use all the time, like say at the moment I feel a little nervous, I've never been on radio, so I would just put my hands on the chest like a butterfly and I would say, I feel nervous, but that's okay. And suddenly I can identify that one and then it doesn't feel so big and it floats down the river.
Yeah. And so giving yourself that, I guess, permission to have feelings. So I think when you're little,
we have feelings whether we give ourselves permission or not, but they just build and build and build. And yeah, exactly. It gives us permission to say, I actually accept every single part of you.
Yes.
And it's just that, you know, sometimes we just need some extra strategies to manage those big feelings.
Yeah. And it's big people we sometimes bubble over to.
Yes.
And little children who are feeling these emotions for the first time and haven't had practice of how to feel these emotions and deal with them and comprehend them. So as parents.
Yeah. So the human brain doesn't fully grow until we're about 25 or 27.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about your four-year-old, they've got at least 21 more years of brain growth. So part of what helps us to regulate our big feelings is context, is the story behind that, is the understanding we can do it, is the mastery of, you know, managing that stuff. But children don't have all of that extra information. They, when they have big feelings, the part that's connected to our empathy turns off, the part that's connected to our problem solving turns off, all that clever stuff in the front of our brain,
mm-hmm.
We can't access. And also, you know, children, especially under 7 and under 4, that bit hasn't really grown yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely have to think about the capacity. So what's the capacity of that child at that age?
And at that time sometimes too, because you might be very tired or hungry,
yes.
You have a big day, school's finished, you've been holding on all day at school, get home, and you feel safe just to let go.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when I get home, I take my shoes off and I, you know, put the heater on and I relax. And so it's, yeah, the same with our emotions sometimes. Yeah, children are sometimes very different in different contexts,
yes.
But that's really normal because you would be different at work and at home. You
absolutely.
Know, you put on your work uniform,
yep.
And so you would try not to be having big, big feelings at home. And it's the same with kids. So they're not being naughty or bad. It's just that they're exhaling,
yes.
And some of those big feelings will be coming out.
Yeah, and normally we would probably feel safe with people we, our family, people we love, to express our big feelings. Where normally if you're somebody at home or at work, you might hold yourself in more and try and control yourself more.
Yeah.
Because they're not that person that's safe to you. But once you get somebody safe, you go, oh, I can be who I feel like I want to be right now and let it all out.
And it's, you know, when they're learning maths, they'll go to their teacher for a maths question.
Yeah.
But as parents and carers, we're the person that teaches them by modelling and showing them how to manage big feelings.
Mm.
And so they'll allow themselves to have those big feelings because they're like, well, you're the person that teaches me, so how do I manage this? And I guess that's a very big responsibility as a parent to think, actually, I'm supporting my child to understand and to set up for, you know, their time ahead of how they're going to manage this. And that's partly how you teach them, but it's also partly how you show them. Because we love to say, do what I say, not what I do. But,
yes.
You know, children are always going to do what you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was thinking back to that early conversation with Nelson about fire stick, and people saying, you know, when you're fire stick, it's like about healing country.
Mm.
I mean, but all about the bad weeds and stuff. Like, you know, if you nurture the strong stuff and the good stuff in bush and country, they all thrive. You don't have to worry about the other small stuff that's the weeds.
Mm.
And it's really interesting about that sort of that strength-based approach.
Yeah.
Love the country.
Yeah.
And that strength-based approach about parenting, and what does it look like for parenting?
Yeah. And look, I think, you know, when we look at parenting, like with the land, we don't own the land.
Mm-hmm.
We're guardians of the land.
Yes.
And we have a, like when we, you know, care for things, we have a responsibility to care for them and to nurture it and to make sure that we're investing in it and giving, I guess, more than we're taking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with, you know, parenting. We don't own our children. We're guardians of our children.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have, you know, 18 years, sometimes more, with our boomerang generation of popping in and out. But I'm sure even if you ask, you know, people with children in their 50s, they'd still be their parent, they'd still be supporting them.
Yes.
But we don't own our children. We have a privilege of raising them and caring for them, mm-hmm. and teaching them. And with teaching, you know, we talk about discipline and punishment. So punishment, mm-hmm. comes from the word, you know, punitive, which means kind of to make small and feel bad. And we use that, you know, technique to make someone feel small so that they're compliant and we do what they want them to do. Whereas the word discipline comes from the word disciple, which means to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And so as parents, we need to kind of think about, okay, are we punishing our children so we can feel like we have a sense of control around this? Or are we trying to teach them and give them life skills to manage, you know, when we're not around, when they're out in the big world by themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's really important, and focusing, I guess, on our strengths as parents, because we're really hard on ourselves.
Yes.
And so, but also to focus on those amazing, brilliant parts of our children. And, you know, I sometimes use this analogy with children and young people when they're feeling like everything's bad, you know, because I'm sure that we all have that those days where it's just too much. Whereas if you think about something in the room, so I'm noticing the screen in front of me, and it's got beautiful colours, and I can hear a little buzzy noise, and it's got letters and words. And so when I'm thinking about that, I actually don't notice, you know, my phone, or I don't notice the other people, or I don't notice. And so then, you know, I'm noticing these beautiful colours, and then when I go out of the room, oh, I'm also noticing the reds and the blues and the purples. And so it's the same when we focus on, I guess, our life and what we're kind of cultivating in our life. If we focus on those positive things, those good things, those things that we're grateful for, those things that we're thankful for, you know, those little micro blessings, then that's what we see in the world.
Yes.
So there will always be those dirty cups in the sink. Yes. And there will always be that washing that is not folded. I think it counts if you've washed it and put it in the basket and it's dry.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's done.
You don't have to put it away.
Nature's a rest by drying.
Exactly. but I think by focusing on that thing, it shifts us, because we judge ourselves so harshly.
Mm-hmm.
But to think, you know what, that stuff doesn't matter. Instead, I'm going to focus on, oh, look at that 30 seconds that my children are playing so nice together. Or, oh, wow, that teacher, even though my child is not great at maths, that teacher actually said that my child is respectful, and my child went up to play with that other child that didn't have anyone to play with, and my child was sharing, or my child was... And so then we start to see our children as, wow, you're amazing and you're fantastic and you drive me crazy sometimes, but... You know, there's all these amazing positive things.
Yes.
And I guess with parenting, sometimes, because we're humans living with humans, sometimes I think we use our power to our advantage, and we parent because children are annoying. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing something that's inconveniencing or annoying us or difficult to manage. It's not actually they need to learn that life lesson. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think it's important for us as parents to step back and say, is this something I need to be disciplining? Is this something I need to be intervening? Is this a lesson my children need to learn? Or are they just annoying and I need to focus on something else? I need to do some self-care. I need to do some breathing because they're getting really loud and they've made a cubby and it's everywhere. But that's okay, because I can do this and I can manage.
And that's a beautiful modelling for your children to say, you know, I'm feeling quite stressed right now. I think I need a bit of quiet time. I'm going to go and just sit and...
Yeah.
I need to take three deep breaths.
Definitely. Definitely. I think the nuance of that is that we don't want children to feel like they have caused that emotion on us.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's unhelpful to say, you made me angry, you made me sad.
Mm.
Because children need to know that we're the adult and we can manage our stuff. We can manage whatever it is that they're doing. But, you know, it's also really important for us to model that. So I was kind of, you know, I like to use zones of regulation. So calm is green,
mm-hmm.
flat and low and kind of feeling a bit depressed is blue, and then a bit anxious and unsettled is yellow, and then when we're like raging or really scared or terror, it's red. So, you know, you can say, you know, Daddy's in the yellow zone. Daddy's just going to go in and take a daddy time out for 10 minutes, set the timer, don't disappear for half an hour. So that, you know, predictability and consistency is important. You might have a toddler, so it might be 14 seconds.
Yes.
You might get to the mailbox and back. But, you know, you might have older children, and so you can do 5 minutes. So you go into your room, you do some breathing, some positive affirmations. I'm amazing. I'm fantastic. I'm wonderful. I've got this. I can do it. Okay, and then, because we can't share what we don't have. So, Michael, my favourite food is chocolate. Can I please have a chocolate?
No, I don't have chocolate.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
So you can't share what you don't have.
Yep.
So we can't share our calm with our children. We can't share our joy with our children. We can't share our gratitude with children if we don't have that ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to fill up the tank, and then we can drive our family around.
Yes.
So I guess it's important, I guess, to focus on what do I need to do in this moment, and it might be 30 seconds, might be 4.5 seconds, it might be a day when they're at school, but to take that opportunity and go, okay, this is a positive moment I can take for my self-care. I feel frustrated, but that's okay. All right, let's go. And then you restart.
Mm.
Yeah.
So much to think about. I think take my phone. It's like custodians of the land.
Yeah.
And you are custodians of your children. You don't own them. You're there to nurture them, look after them, and help them grow.
Yes.
So it is very good. So we're running out of time. I'd love to have to do more, but...
Oops.
Where do you from here, people are listening?
Yes.
There's some great places to find out some more information about or learn some more things as well.
Yeah, so I've got a website. So it's I haven't worked out Google, so it's www.beaconis, so beaconis.com.au, or you can search us up on Facebook. It's just Beacon Innovative Solutions on Facebook, and I put up webinars and I put up, you know, little things and trainings and parenting sessions and, you know, webinars that I've done in the past, and anything else, I kind of keep those updated. Mm-hmm. I also write children's therapeutic storybooks around, yes, identity and self-care and safety and connection, so with little beautiful characters and around stressful days and how they're okay if we can look after ourselves. So they're on the website as well. And also... Yarranges Council have some really good resources on their website.
Mm-hmm. So just go on the council website and search family.
Yeah.
The page then has all the webinars and resources there if you need to find out some more as well for all ages of children.
Yeah, and Yarranges Council did lots of stuff during COVID, which, mm-hmm, is still available, yep, and still really relevant.
The webinars are all recorded so you can watch when you have the time, maybe at like 9:30 at night when the kids are asleep.
Yes, maybe watch one show on Netflix and then one webinar.
Yeah. Dinner and dessert. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Beck.
That's all right. Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers. And Sabina, hello, how are you?
I'm very well here, thank you.
Thank you, Sabina. So, Sabina, little last update for us today is what's happening at the library during school holidays and a bit of NAIDOC week as well.
Yes. So NAIDOC Week has been done through the Yarra Rangers Council. So there's lots of activities on their council website. We're just finishing off, as you said, with the school holiday program. And today here at Healesville, there is currently cooking apple strudel and chai tea, which...
Fantastic.
I'm hoping there's going to be a little bit left over from me. But just a reminder, in the school holidays and beyond, that libraries certainly are warm, friendly places, and please return yourself to the library. We're very kind. We've got tech experts to help you with all sorts of things, and there's no overdue fees anymore.
Did you hear that? Say it again.
There's no overdue fees anymore at the library. So we were very excited here at Healesville Library to have Cora Zon, who runs the amazing show on Yarra Valley FM on about zines and the arts program, which is on Thursday. And we had a fantastic session with lots of families, made it some amazing glimmer zines. And those glimmer zines will be on display at Healesville Library in the month of November. So you've still got time to make some and pop them in. We've still got one school holiday program, which is Play-Doh Pianos, which is on Friday. And not to forget our cousins at Yarra Junction Library. They've got a Pirate Fortune Escape Room, which still has space for one group who would like to see if they can escape from the room with all the pirate treasure. And Yarra Junction's very excitedly looking forward to see Christian White. So you might have seen him in the Star News. He's going to visit the library and do an author talk. That's next Tuesday, the 12th of July, which will be after the school holidays at 2 o'clock. And he has family in Warburton, I believe. So I think that's going to be a really interesting program, listening to him.
Absolutely. Plenty on. And I was at the Healesville Library yesterday morning. And it is, and I forget, I'm in Millgrove, where I live, and I forget how great Junction is. A beautiful, really cosy library, and the Healesville is just gorgeous, big open spaces too. So lovely place. Two amazing, beautiful libraries in our area that just love to be, just pop in, and especially in these days like this, it's sunny, but gee, it's cold. So popping in into the library and getting a cosy book and sitting down in a comfy chair is a beautiful thing to do.
Yeah, and look, because I have people coming to the desk all the time being very unsure about being in the library, not sure if they have to pay to become a member, and the answer to that is no. All you need is some photo ID, and to become a member is very easy. Just have to press a few buttons, and then you have access not only to books, but we have e-books, we have e-audiobooks, which I must say I have been become converted, mm-hmm, having previously used CDs, which I always used to lose the CDs.
Yes.
But the audiobooks are just amazing because I can use them. It's not like a podcast where if I lose signal, I've lost the book.
Mm-hmm.
The audiobooks are just fantastic and so easy to pair these days. We have computers that people can use. We have lots of helpful staff, because a lot of people and a lot of government departments expect you to have a computer, a scanner, a photocopier, a printer, and we've got all those things at the library. So we're very helpful to people that are trying to navigate sometimes these very complex systems. But yes, we're here to help. And that's what I think most people say to me. I didn't think of the library as a place to get technology help, because I know the Yarra Rangers Council, Yarra Junction, they've got their computer club kicking off and they've renamed it Tech and T.
Yes.
Which is for all skill levels to share information. But certainly both libraries have times allocated where you can get one-on-one intensive help with your technology.
Yeah, and beyond all the lovely assets, you have some amazing staff that are very friendly and very helpful. So if you ever need a bit of help, just pop into the library and say hello to the staff, and they'll have lots of time for you to help out navigate all those little tech issues too. Mm. Thank you, Sabina.
Definitely.
And one last thing too is actually, it's not an area, but it is down the line for the libraries at the Realm Library in Ringwood. There's the Living Libraries, Indigenous Elders Sharing Their Stories, which is a punch with Mullum Mullum. So that's on this week as well. So if you want to check it out, you can go to yourlibrary.com.au and you'll find out all those different events happening in your libraries across the region. Thank you so much, Sabina. Hopefully we'll see
you
in the library soon.
Yes.
And that's it for this show.
Return yourself to the library.
Yes, absolutely. that's our show for this month. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you again in the first Wednesday of the month from 2 to 3 o'clock.